Hello, champions. It's AOC. Get comfy and spend the next hour being thoroughly entertained. This is The Vocal Minority with Nick and Steve. If you like podcasts that make you laugh, provoke thought, and sometimes even make you horny, you're going to love these boys. The Vocal Minority with Nick and Steve. Come for knowledge. Come for the pleasure. Stay because you're tied up.
Jesus, man. I'm already feeling horny, dude. Welcome to the podcast. It is The Vocal Minority with Nick and Steve. Let's not get away from being horny in this world.
Yeah, you're opening this whole AI debate. Like, is it weird that an AI AOC turns us on? Why not just have an AOC bot? What is the real thing anymore? That's my point.
Oh, you think that's fake?
No, I'm saying if it was, let's just say... For some reason, AOC didn't really record that for us.
Okay. Understood. I don't know. It turns me on. It's like you just got to close your eyes and think about it, dude.
Right. The line between reality and fantasy gets blurred, especially with sexual things. So,
time sure is changing. Welcome to the show, The Vocal Minority with Nick and Steve. See our socials. You can have a little fun over there if you'd like.
You can. We got TikTok, Reddit, and YouTube, our favorites. We're on Facebook, Instagram, technically, and Blue Sky.
Yeah, we're on Blue Sky. Call our comment line, 844-48-VOCAL. Your chance to use your telephone as a microphone. Pick it up, y'all, and get vocal. I'm thinking about doing, we can do live shows with our new software that we got. We're going to have to... think about that once again. We were thinking about it for a while. We couldn't figure the software out. So,
yeah. If only there was some liberal platform with thousands of people following that could utilize some live programming. I mean, that's the key. If only there were such a thing.
Yeah. Jeez. Yeah.
I'll keep looking.
Yeah. Maybe we'll get lucky someday and they'll reach out to us. Who knows?
Right. Anyways. Hey, dude,
let me tell you, have you noticed this as you get older? Life gets more fun, but it also gets more shitty. Have you noticed that?
I mean, yeah, I've definitely noticed it. I didn't think that happened to everyone, though. I thought I was just getting uniquely screwed with.
No, I mean, I think, like, you know how you always say it, like, oh, all pain is relative. So, I mean, maybe it's not the exact same thing you're going through or have gone through. But, yeah, I think as you get older, like, yeah, shit gets a lot more fun because, yeah, I can eat cereal for dinner. No one's going to say no. But I also got to figure out on tax day what the hell I do. I also got to figure out other stuff, like the responsibilities. I don't know if they... weigh each other out equally.
I have no idea. And I will tell you, it's funny you brought up cereal, because I was just watching something on NBC the other day about highly processed foods are taking years off of everyone's lives. In last year, they documented over 100,000 people that died a few years prematurely because of the processed foods. And that's mainly, you know, like bread, energy bars. I eat a lot of bread. I eat a lot of, you know, grain bars, and I eat a lot of cereal. And apparently cereal was on that list, too, of things that are just, you know, prematurely killing us all. So on one level, you could say it's the last few years of your life. Like, they would have been miserable anyway. So what does it matter? But, yeah, I think this is the problem with this stage of life. I'm realizing the highs and the lows are higher than they used to be, and the lows are lower than they used to be. Yeah. And I'm almost sick of having things go well in life, because I just sit there going, well, this shit always falls apart at some point. I'd rather just stay in the middle. But big opportunity happens, big fall when it does it. You know, a good thing happens in life. Oh, no, then it goes the other way. Oh, married with kids? No, you're divorced. Oh, you found a new love? Oh, now you're homeless. Can't take it.
Yeah, it is a lot. But you know what? You can take it, and you have taken it, and you've thrived and succeeded. So that's that's a mindset. Power of positivity.
I think my point of the whole grain thing is, the other day I was like, I just want a bowl of cereal. That's going to prematurely end my life. And I thought for the first time, you know what? It's fine. I'm just getting sick of this. Like, you know, I'll still live to be 80-something. Like, just, ugh. Suddenly the idea of dying prematurely is not so depressing to me. Like, right? I've had a good life. Like, it's just, can I be done with this already?
Some people would say, I have this thought all the time. You know what? It is not worth it to me to have a stale, boring life and live till 90. Mm-hmm. I would rather have a great life and die at 70 or 80, you know? Like, yeah. Which is why I smoke cigarettes, which is why I eat cereal all the frickin' time. And it's also, you know, I saw somebody recently looking at CPAPs. I wear a CPAP now at night. The fat guy stops breathing in the middle of the night and now needs a machine to keep him breathing. They told me, if you don't do it, it'll take 3 years off your life. I'm like, eh. You know? It is. It's just a balancing act. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. So now these are interesting debates we do have as we get older. You know, I've got this whole thing going on. I snapped the tendon on my middle finger for anyone not watching on the internet. So my middle finger is in a splint cast thing. And yeah, I got people in my world that are on my case to stop riding dirt bikes. You know, stop. It's dangerous. How dare you know, like. But what's the catch 22? What's the advantage? Like bubble wrap myself and just live a sterile life for the rest of my life, or get out there and live while I can, while I am still 49, not 79. Like, I don't know. I'm in more risk driving in the grocery store than I am on a dirt bike. But where do you draw that line between living a cautious life where you're trying to get every second out of this existence, or I'm going to eat the cheeseburger and ride my dirt bike because I want to live while I'm still alive.
Yes, dude. I think that's the answer. The only time you're going to know that it's not the answer is on your deathbed. Right. I shouldn't have done it. And I'm sure you're going to have those regrets about everything, but you know what? I won't have a regret that I freaking lived, dude. I lived to the fullest. I did what I wanted to do. I'm not saying you have to be an adrenaline junkie and like, I want to run into burning buildings or I want to go to Ukraine and fight, see what it feels like. But riding dirt bikes, stuff like that, that's dangerous, you know, whatever. Be careful.
Yeah. I hear you. I feel dead when I just sit around my house all day doing boring work or whatever. I feel alive when I'm out there on that bike. And honestly, I feel alive when I get thrown to the dirt and I pick myself up and get back on the bike. Like, I feel that's what life is supposed to be. And I feel like I'm doing the empowering thing to be like, no, I'm not going to let some accident defeat me. So what if I get a paper cut today, can I stop doing paperwork? Like, where do we draw this line on things that hurt you that you should now just stop doing? Because apparently I'd give up on love, children, paying taxes. Mm-hmm. You know how many things hurt me in this world? Please. The stress those things cause me. Boy.
Of course. Yes. So you've got to do the best that you can. But yeah, you got to keep living your life, dude. I came across this article that I think this is funny. You know, we kind of looked through the article a little bit, make sure it's show worthy. And the first couple of things I saw in here, I was like, of course, this is things you loved as a kid that are now seen as problematic. Okay. So like when I say that, is there anything that comes to mind right away for you?
Incest. I always thought that was problematic when I was a kid. But now that I'm older, I realize, yeah, that's messed up.
So. Yeah, thanks a lot, Uncle Tony. Right?
No, I don't know. Are we talking like lawn darts or calling our friend, you know, fag or something? Like,
good question, dude. I didn't know. Nothing came to my mind. So let's go through some of these things. This says, growing up in the 80s, 90s, early 2000s felt like the golden era of carefree entertainment, sugary snacks, pop culture that lived rent-free in our brains. But times have changed. A lot of things once adored don't actually hold up today. Outdated stereotypes, questionable product safety. Those are the first two things you brought up. Insensitivity. Childhood favorites have gotten a second look. You know, we can't say the things we used to say, apparently, and do the things we used to do. So let's get into this list. How about Looney Tunes cartoons? It's so funny, dude. I was just having this conversation with Rachel. Hey, what was your favorite cartoon growing up? You know, she didn't ever like Looney Tunes. She never watched Looney Tunes. Did you?
I watched them religiously. And I don't know. All things are relative, because when I watched them as a kid, I didn't think anything was weird, bizarre, violent, racist, or anything else about Looney Tunes. But now that I have watched some of them with, you know, when my kids were at that age, or just, you know, seeing clips online or whatever. Like, when somebody first told me Speedy Gonzalez had been banned, you will never see Speedy Gonzalez again because he is racist. My first thought was, like, he was awesome. He was a superhero, basically. Like, he was like the Flash. Like, Speedy Gonzalez is awesome. Yeah. Then I think, like, all of his friends were constantly drunk and passed out and shooting pistols in the eye, eye, eye.
Right.
I'm like, I guess there were a lot of racist tropes that were just ingrained in the Speedy Gonzalez thing. Yeah, that's valid. Not to mention the violence. Everyone was getting shot in the face, bombs blowing up in their face.
That one's tough for me, though. Like, some of the cultural insensitivity stuff, I understand. But as far as, like, getting shot in the face, like, I know we have a gun problem in this country, but we had this argument when we were kids. First, it was the rap music. Then it was the video games. Like, I think if you can't separate yourself from reality when you're doing those things, that's a you problem. But like you were just saying during the show, if we listen to an AI and get horny, is it weird? Like, now we're blurring the lines of reality. You've seen people go Grand Theft Auto out in public because, I want to see what that feels like, you know? So it is, I guess things are a little more dangerous today with guns and everything else.
Yeah, it's just weird what used to be completely acceptable to laugh at. And what about Pepe Le Pew, the skunk that was constantly trying to force himself on the girl skunk? Completely. I mean, chasing her all over town and trying to kiss her and love on her. I mean, that's wildly inappropriate now. I mean, and you would never see that in a modern day cartoon.
This says, just once again, Steve Harness right on the money. If you rewatch these Looney Tunes now, it's pretty clear a lot of the jokes didn't age well. Characters like Speedy Gonzalez or the way Native Americans and Asian characters were portrayed relied heavily on racial stereotypes. Many of these episodes have been pulled or edited, so you can't even see them anymore. I mean, I guess you could probably find them, but do you want to? That's a good question.
Yeah. No, I held those up as the quintessential good kid cartoons. But, somebody's always trying to kill someone or fuck someone. That's really what the theme is on all of those.
Isn't that life, though? I mean, that's actually kind of what I feel like I'm living right now.
Yeah. Remember when Bugs Bunny would dress up as the girl bunny? Ooh, sexy. So I get it.
Maybe you were a Hanna-Barbera person. That's the conversation I was having with Rachel. I was mainly Hanna-Barbera, but I watched Looney Tunes as well. But they were all racially insensitive, I suppose. So, next one on our list, Pocahontas. A lot of kids were drawn to Pocahontas for its catchy songs, colorful animation. Looking at it today, the movie tells a highly romanticized version of real painful history.
Of what? Raping kids?
The actual Pocahontas was a child, not a young woman falling in love with John Smith.
Okay. She was basically sex trafficked. She was sold to these explorers coming through town. Like, take the 12-year-old with you. She knows how to cook and guide and wink, wink, other things.
Isn't that so America that we romanticize these things in our history of slavery? Hey, you had some help around the house. we really have romanticized things.
Yeah. No, that was at a maximum child sex trafficking, but at a minimum, child labor. I mean, it's a little messed up. Now, you could say she was the expert on that guide and got Lewis and Clark or whoever, but no, it's obviously messed up.
Yeah. How about candy cigarettes, dude? Do you remember candy cigarettes?
Yes. And it, again, didn't seem odd to me at all as a kid. What would we all do with those candy cigarettes? We'd all sit around acting like we're smoking. Like,
it was awesome, dude.
Right. And how messed up is that? Why didn't we have candy heroin? We're all shooting up fake candy needles in our arms or something.
Listen, dude, those candy cigarettes, they had a little puff of powdered sugar on the end. So it looked like you were smoking. And we did. We held them in our hands and we're being old. That's how you be old. You smoke.
Yeah. It's just indicative of the era of pop culture where smoking was portrayed to be cool because it was for a long time. It was perceived to be cool. It's not till we all realized it was slowly killing everybody and that maybe that's a bad thing to portray.
Yeah. Some of us stopped. How about, you'll know this because, you know, you have children the age of where this is. I do not. American Girl Dolls, historical storylines. Did you ever, any of your kids into American Girl Doll?
No. I know what they are, but no. Cross never would have been. And Neo, I don't think, went through an American Girl Doll phase. But it's basically a mix between Barbie and a Cabbage Patch doll. And they have them for every kind of ethnicity, I believe.
Yeah, and they're insanely expensive. But at first glance, American Girl Dolls seem like a wholesome way to teach history. Still, some of the storylines for characters from eras of slavery or colonization come off as simplified or sugar-coated. They're touched on, but not really explored. I don't know how I feel about that one, dude. I mean, isn't that the age to kind of touch on them?
Listen, I know your point, and it's a fine line of like, hey, it's racially diverse and inclusive. Look at all of these different ethnicities. But yeah, then they tend to tie it to something that has some negative connotation, like slavery or, you know, era and time when things were not so good for everyone else.
Yeah. Well, it's like Make America Great Again. When was it great? You know, the people ask that, like, man, it wasn't ever great for all of us at the same time. So,
yeah,
we're going over a list right now of things you loved as a kid that now seem a bit problematic. Oh, here we have more experience with this bad boy. The song Baby, It's Cold Outside.
Yeah, screw that whole thing. I don't. Listen, again, if this is an uncle talking to his 12-year-old, you know, niece, but let's not overreact. I am all for political correctness and cultural sensitivities and whatnot, but in no universe did I ever think, or even looking at it through that spectrum, do I think that that is an attempted date rape or whatever. You know, baby, it's cold outside, stay inside with me. Like, they're a couple. I don't think this is a guy hitting on a stranger. I always got the impression it's a husband and wife, and or at least they're romantically connected, where she wants to go, no, don't go, it's cold outside, baby, let's warm up by the fire.
You're romanticizing it, though, because, I mean, there's a line.
Someone sat down and said, I'm going to write a date rape Christmas song. That's the goal. This isn't supposed to be romantic or some fun play between a couple. This guy is trying to accost her.
Listen, she says, what's in this drink? I mean, it is. I'm not saying that a guy sat down and thought, oh, I'm going to write a song about date rape. I'm saying that some of those things were more accepted back then. Like, hey, you know, guy got a little frisky, put a little something in my drink. You know, like, we can never do that now. But people used to do that shit, a.k.a. Bill Cosby. Took him years to be held accountable.
They are not talking about a roofie in that song. Is that what you take that lyric to mean? Like, what's in the drink?
What's in this drink? She wants to want. She's starting to feel funny. What's in this drink?
Whiskey or something. He put a little, you know, it's Irish coffee. No. I guarantee you the person that wrote that song did not mean he slipped her a roofie. Just he put a little whiskey in the coffee. What's in my coffee? And I get it, but come on. Again, in a loving relationship, I've had nights where it's like, yeah, baby, have another drink. Like, let's have a little fun tonight. Versus I'm trying to get some woman in a bar drunk so I could take advantage of her. That's not the setup for that song.
Do you know that for a fact?
I mean,
there's no way
nothing to indicate that they don't know each other. Certainly they're not in a bar in the song, nor do I think someone sat down with that was what they decided to write.
Just a little powder in the drink, dude. Baby, it's cold outside and you're gonna pass out and die in that snow if you leave, because I've incapacitated you. How about this one? We're going over this list of things you loved as a kid that now seem kind of problematic. The Indian in the Cupboard book. Do you remember?
I do. I don't remember actually reading it or anything. Is it calling someone an Indian, or is there a connotation in that book I'm not familiar with?
This says plenty of elementary school kids were assigned this book or to watch the movie adaptation. The idea of toys coming to life was magical, but the portrayal of the Native American character, Little Bear, has sparked some criticism. It's written in a stereotypical, demeaning way, and the story glosses over the reality of the indigenous history. What once felt imaginative and harmless seems to reinforce some very outdated and insensitive ideas. Same type of thing as the American Girl doll, right?
I guess. I don't know the story well enough to comment, because on some topics I feel like there's a difference between cultural appropriation or degradation and just appreciation or including different characters and different stories. Like, not everything has to be completely accurate. It's nice that some characters are included, but I don't know the nuance of that story, so I'm not trying to put my foot in my mouth.
Hey, dude, you know, you brought up a great point, is who gets to decide, though? Who decides? Like, if I'm deciding something for the Indian in the cover, like, I'm going to let that slide. That's okay. And I'm not Native American.
Yeah.
Is it odd that I let it slide?
I think the free market is who decides. Okay. If in this day and age you put out a book and it sells well, or, you know, a movie or whatever, then the free market has spoken. If it faces a backlash because it's overly insensitive or antiquated, outdated, then you've made a bad investment and you deserve to get burned, apparently. So,
once again, dude, you just lay – sometimes you spit that knowledge that I can't disagree with. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
How about Aunt Jemima, Steve? Do you have a problem with Aunt Jemima syrup? A couple of years ago, they took it off the shelf.
And Land O'Lakes butter. They took the Native American woman off the box. Do I have a problem with it? No. But does a private company have the right to rebrand themselves because they're worried about it being insensitive? Mm. Yeah, they do. So I can't tell the Aunt Jemima Corporation you shouldn't have done it. Like, if they were worried it was hurting their brand, or if they had actual evidence to show it is hurting the brand, then, yeah, of course they should be able to do whatever the hell they want. And just like new Coke or whatever, like, if it backfires on you, then I guess you learned your lesson. But I still buy Land O'Lakes. I had to look 10 times before I noticed the woman was not on there anymore. The box is the same. There's just no, you know, Native American lady sitting there. So do I really care? No. Make your butter how you want to make your butter. And I guess if some other company wants to open a insensitive brand and sell it and make money, I'm sure the MAGA types will suck it right up.
Oh, those MAGA types got pissed when Aunt Jemima. Oh, you've gone too far now. Where's our Aunt Jemima? Like, oh man, dude, I think you said it perfectly. Why are you so offended that somebody's getting rid of Aunt Jemima?
This is the don't tread on me crowd. Yeah. They keep government out of my affairs and let business do what they want to do. But then when a business does what they want to do, they get all upset because they maybe were trying to be sensitive. Maybe we shouldn't call it Aunt Jemima anymore. Maybe we shouldn't call it Land O'Lakes with the Native American lady. Like, it's a private business. I thought private businesses were allowed to do what they want. Keep big government out of it.
So true. Listen, these are all things you loved as a kid that are now seen as problematic. I don't know, maybe a year ago, Steve and I both went out to see the Barbie movie and came back with our review that Oscar-worthy film. Like, really well done, told the story, taught a lot. We thought it was a great movie. Did I get that right?
Yeah, you did, except it was not a year ago. It was 2 years ago. Time's flying.
Yeah.
But no, great movie. But yeah, what's the cultural insensitivity there? The blonde hair, blue eye thing?
This is Barbie's body image. Yeah, I don't know. That's a funny one to think about. She was iconic. Most kids had at least one, maybe a whole box. But yeah, tiny waist, tiny tummy, big boobs, blonde hair, long legs. You know, just the whole, this is what's considered pretty, I suppose.
Yeah, and it generally is. But Barbie is pretty well known for being about as culturally diverse as it can be. And again, that's the free market. If those other dolls are selling, they'll keep cranking them out. If no one's buying the black Barbie or the Indian Barbie, by which I mean from the country of India, then, you know, then they're not going to sell, not going to do well. But if there's a demand, then yeah, go for it. But we have to understand that Barbie started in an era where, yeah, it was all blonde hair, blue-eyed, you know, tall, skinny, and blah, blah, blah. So
it's before our country got fat, dude, you know, and our styles have changed, I guess. But, yeah, you're right. And Barbie has stuck with the times. I think they made fat Barbies and all different ethnicities of Barbies. And
pregnant Barbies.
Yeah.
And some of them did not sell well, which is why they don't keep making them.
Did they make a pregnant Barbie?
Yes. Fun fact.
Oh, it wasn't a kid, though. Barbie's not a kid, right?
No, Barbie's an adult. Okay. That's why she can be an astronaut and an airline pilot.
That's right. All right. These are all things that we loved as kids and now are seen as problematic. I shit you not. Steven Speedy Gonzalez made the list here. Let's see what they say. He said, kids love Speedy Gonzalez, that funny, fast-talking cartoon mouse. Yet the character has recently drawn criticism promoting harmful stereotypes about Mexican people. Some say the exaggerated accent and side characters reinforce negative views. That's exactly what you said. Yeah. Even if Speedy himself was seen as clever and heroic, should he be canceled or celebrated? The debate rumbles on.
Yeah. Again, free market. The company has the right to keep that stuff in the closet if they've come to realize this probably doesn't represent us very well. So why not reboot Speedy Gonzalez? How cool would that be? A Latino superhero mouse. You can leave out the drunken friends and over-the-top accent and still make it Speedy Gonzalez. So let the free market decide.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. You could redo it, but people are going to get mad just like they did with Aunt Jemima, a certain grouping of people.
Yeah, sure.
Hey, dude, remember when I did a radio show and I had a sidekick called Dante?
I remember very well, yes. I got a lot of complaints, yes.
You did?
Oh, yeah. I shared those with you. Maybe not.
Yeah. You got a lot of complaints. What did people say about that?
So Nick had this character, and he had this weird, sort of amorphous, weird, generic accent. And people would call me up and say, like, what's with the racist, you know, sidekick that Nick's got? Now, first of all, I didn't want to ever acknowledge that you were the sidekick. I wanted to keep the fantasy of radio alive.
Right.
And, you know, it's admirable on your part because – a lot of people don't realize how hard that is to be yourself and then break into some character. You had conversations with yourself. You had arguments with yourself. You would sometimes talk over yourself, which is brilliant production that you recorded it and argued over time. Like, it was good theater of the mind, and I liked it, and I thought it was admirable. But when anyone would call and say, what's with the racist, you know, accent he's using, I would always say, who's it racist against? What accent is it? Some people would say Asian. Some people would say Latino. Some people would say it's like weird Eastern European. Nobody knew because you never connected it to any ethnicity. You never did this weird accent and then made a chopsticks joke or something. Like,
right,
if you
right.
don't connect the dots, I don't see how it can be racist. It's just some generic accent. And how is that racist when you don't make a joke out of it? It just is what it is.
You're right. That's exactly what it was. He was never identified as any ethnicity.
Right.
He was just had an accent. So yeah.
And his name, Dante, that did not tie to anything. I mean, maybe you could say Latino, I guess, but I no. I mean, so yeah, people are racist. Why is it racist? Well, I don't know. It's a weird accent. Yeah, and what did he do with that weird accent that was racist? I don't know. Just the tone. It just sounds like, nope, sorry. I reject it on your print. As soon as you make a burrito joke attached to that accent, then I would say it's wrong. But you didn't because you understood the line.
Yeah, that was a funny character. But yeah, I stopped doing it eventually. And I can't remember. At some, during COVID.
He died during COVID. It's just hilarious, too. Right. You killed the poor guy.
because I felt like, we're in some tumultuous times right now. Maybe I should step it back a notch, but that's funny shit. I love your support for Dante, dude. I never knew you had so much love for him.
Oh, yeah.
We're talking about things that you loved as a kid, and they're now seen as problematic. The song lyrics in the early 2000s pop is what this says. Okay. It's wild how many songs from the early 2000s would never fly today. Lyrics now sound sexist, homophobic, or just straight up inappropriate. Artists like Eminem, Ludacris, and Black Eyed Peas had massive hits with lyrics that sparked almost no outrage back then. Now, listening with fresh ears, folks question how that kind of language got a free pass for so long.
Do they have any examples? Because I couldn't tell you. I mean, for rock and roll, I mean, there's 100. She's only 17, if you know what I mean. Or
I know, like Eminem and Ludacris, saying the F word, being homophobic. was more of a thing back then for rappers, you know.
Sure. I don't know. Anytime Wet Ass Pussy is a chart topping, you know, Grammy award winning hit in this modern era, I have a hard time saying things used to be worse. I don't recall right. anyone right. writing a song that direct before.
Yeah. Oh man, that I think that takes the cake. If you were to sit down and say, I'm gonna write a song no one can ever top with right. nastiness, I'm gonna do it.
Yeah. I listen to Aerosmith every now and again, and you know, they were always so good at the double entendres, and those were considered, yeah. you know, risky, like Walk This Way and Talk This Way, and You Ain't Seen Nothing Till You're Down on a Muffin. Like, what do you think he's talking about there? But he didn't say you ain't seen nothing till you're down on a wet ass pussy. You know, I mean, they would have thought that's absurd. You cannot say that. You got to call it something else.
Like, it was subtle. Right. You know, we knew how to do things the right way. Damn it.
Yeah. So Eminem in the early 2000s. You're fine.
Yeah. And he's made up for it. Hey, you know what? That's the thing that people should realize also. I feel like we've lost sight of this, that 20 years ago, I was a different person because I was living in different times. And if I can apologize for things now, you should be able to get down and accept that apology if I really mean it, you know.
Of course, times change. Matt Damon got in trouble years ago. He was talking in an interview about, you know, his kids, that when they watch some of his old work, they're like, Dad, like, you called people faggots and stuff. And he was like, well, that's what we did in that era. And the movie was about young Bostonians or whatever. And like, yeah, I mean, we used to use that word. So that was part of the movie because it was set back then, and that his kids gave him all this grief, and that people got upset that he was even trying to explain this to his children, that right. the word was used a lot back then. So if you write a story about back then, you're going to use the verbiage that was used back then. And, but yeah, just him even trying to point out that reality got him in trouble. And yeah. I don't think we need to go quite that far with it. We're allowed to age out of things and acknowledge that, yeah, not going to call someone that anymore. But sure, it was common.
That's a good point that we made talking about romanticizing history. You know, that's the same type of thing, that if we take that stuff out of movies and edit it out, like we are romanticizing our history, that, hey, oh, we've never talked like that before. Yeah, we did. We evolved.
We're whitewashing it. Yeah.
These are things that you loved as a kid that now seem a bit problematic. Hey, how about the game Cowboys and Indians? Did you play it as a kid, and would you play it now if I asked you real nice?
Well, you and I, yeah. That'd be fun to run around the backyard and play around. Listen, Cowboys and Indians, all of that is antiquated. Can we play Cops and Robbers still, or should we not be discriminating against people that may have been economically challenged and been forced to steal a loaf of bread, and cop violence against minority? Like, I don't know. Can we play tag anymore? Yes. Cowboys and Indians, it's just got a different name.
You can't play tag anymore. You cannot touch someone who's trying to get away from you. That is completely inappropriate.
That's a good question. I'm going to have to ask Kennedy about that, if that is actually banned nowadays on playgrounds.
Right.
Because, yeah, you're running around touching somebody, I guess. But
that's trying to actively get away from you.
Right. That is kind of funny. Yeah, we can look at everything differently. I know you're not supposed to run around with a finger gun anymore. So maybe Cops and Robbers would be very difficult.
I'd rather have the finger gun than what we have now. I mean, you know.
That's the silliness of it. Yes, we're doing nothing about actual guns in schools. But tell those kids, don't use a little finger gun to play a game with each other. Ban that.
The big thing I can see with Cowboys and Indians is, I know when I was a kid and we used to play it, the sounds we made running around if we were the Indians. And, you know, like, that's inappropriate.
That was a funny moment I had as a parent, you know, a few years back when I first took the kids to, you know, preschool or whatever, that early age. And the teacher would be like, all right, you know, you're doing drop off. And you'd hear the teacher like, all right, everybody, sit on the rug, crisscross applesauce. And the first time I heard that, I was just like, what in the hell does crisscross applesauce mean? And I don't remember if it was a parent or a teacher, but someone explained to me, like, we can't call it sitting Indian style anymore. So now we call it crisscross applesauce.
Yeah. I wonder if kids even know it would used to be called that, you know. I mean, that's just what it was called.
Why the apple? Can't it just be crisscross? Or why crisscross applesauce? It's just a rhyme?
I think so. It's easier for young minds to absorb that type of stuff, you know.
How about sit down over there and shut the fuck up?
Yes.
How I would do that. Nothing racist there. So
that's right. Maybe you're being disablest because you're telling them to sit down. Maybe they can't sit down. Maybe they have no legs, dude. You're taking
and they're already sitting, apparently.
These are things that you loved as a kid that are now seen as problematic. Songs of the South is what this says. Even though Disney mostly swept it under the rug, Songs of the South were a part of many people's childhoods through clips or park rides like Splash Mountain. Nowadays, the movie is criticized for romanticizing the post-Civil War South and downplaying the brutality of slavery.
Mm. Yeah. Listen, so much of Disney should go away. And people have this like, oh, gee, but it was so popular back then. But yeah, a lot of it has not aged well. And I never saw most Disney movies as a kid. So the first time I saw them was as a parent showing them to my kid. And a lot of them are completely screwed up. Fantasia is just one big acid trip. But even Snow White, like to me, that is the quintessential example of, first of all, it's a whole acid trip when she's getting lost in the forest before the little dwarfs, elf things find her, which is also odd and politically incorrect. But the fact that the queen tells the huntsman, take her out in the woods, kill her, cut her heart out, bring it back to me in a box. I want to see that little bitch is dead. That is literally, she doesn't call her a bitch, but the queen tells the huntsman, cut her heart out, bring it back in a box, so I know you killed her out there in the woods. Wow. That's weird. She then, stumbles across this little commune of hippie midget dudes that she lives with. That's weird. They're all talking animals. Like, they're not all on shrooms or something. And then, of course, the most egregious thing. The prince that finds an unconscious woman in the forest and just starts kissing her? Why was that ever thought to be romantic, cool, or anything else? That is straight-up creepy, date-rapey stuff. You know, don't get a doctor involved. By the way, one of the dwarfs is named Doc. You didn't call him. No, you just start kissing her. Come on. Please. Disney's a warped individual, all right?
So when you saw that for the first time, were you having all these thoughts?
Yes. This stuff is weird, man. It is weird. Alice in Wonderland, another big acid trip. I mean, and yes, just all the overt murdering and sexism in those movies.
We can even step away from Disney, too. Like, I love Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. I love Willy Wonka, you know, and that's all an acid trip, too, right?
Sure. And enslaved indigenous people, you know, these orange-skinned midgets. Let's just put them to work. We found them. We're claiming them.
You can't do that anymore. It's not for fun.
Yes.
These are things you loved as a kid that are now seen as problematic. Tootsie Rolls. Now they're
just because they've come into play in our lives as we get older, and sometimes we have accidents, okay? I don't think those little Tootsie Rolls are so pleasurable anymore. That's why it's wrong.
Dude, I never knew this. Tootsie Rolls and other wartime candies is what this says. I can't
remember. What is it? Is it Tootsie? Was that a name for a...
You find these chewy little candies were everywhere. School parties, Halloween, grandma's purse. But Tootsie Rolls have ties to military rations and were distributed during times of segregation and war. For some, nostalgia is still strong. For others, it's a complicated past they represent and how little that was ever really talked about. I still don't quite understand what it is.
Yeah, I was going to say. So they were a wartime ration? Are we insensitive to veterans or to the wars they were fighting? Like,
I guess so. Maybe they were just given to one side of the war. Tootsie Rolls, I guess.
I mean, they're disgusting candy. We've certainly evolved from that.
Oh, I love a Tootsie, dude. I love a Tootsie Roll.
Yeah. No, I don't know what the insensitivity is other than to disgusting candy, pulling your fillings out.
Right. Okay. You loved these as a kid, but now they're problematic. Boys clubs, no girls allowed signs. Mm-hmm. Dude. I don't have any patience for stuff like this. Like, now you're just looking for weird shit to bring up. Obviously, girls are allowed when they're 12. You know, it's just like when they're young, we don't want them as young boys. Then they start to get boobs and they start to, you know, we start to grow up and we want girls. So just leave us alone for a little while.
I mean, are we talking about children's forts or like golf clubs that are for, you know, men only?
No, we're talking children forts, dude.
Ah, please. Girls have cooties. It's fine. That was pre-COVID. We were just being cautious. We knew they had something contagious. So
It's called being responsible. Things you loved as a kid, these are now problematic, apparently. Happy Meal toys based on problematic characters. They've got two freaking Transformers up here. Like, they're problematic characters in your Happy Meal.
I don't know what they're referring to. Like a Pocahontas toy or something, I would get it, but
otherwise. Kids would beg their parents to get a Happy Meal figure, Transformer, Power Ranger, Disney movies. Over time, many of the characters featured have been connected to stereotype, sexism, and racial insensitivity.
Yeah, looking back, sure. I mean, you can find some toys that probably had some weird connection, like we're talking about, like Looney Tunes or something. But is this an ongoing problem? Hardly.
Yeah, and it's probably not on the top of the list right now. I mean, it's in the past. It's changed, so.
The bigger offense is you probably shouldn't be taking your kids to McDonald's quite that often. So.
Right? Yeah, you didn't do it, did you?
I mean, intermittently, yeah, sure. I mean, try to limit that stuff. But I remember seeing Anthony Bourdain, the late great, speak in Tahoe. He was doing a book tour and just did a whole spoken word thing for an hour. He's just talking. And he was talking about, you know, bad American diet trends and fat kids and all that stuff. But then he said, like, but parents, don't beat yourself up if you got to stop at McDonald's every now and again. Like, life is busy. Don't be such a purist that you're going to, you know, feel terrible just because you got a Happy Meal one day. But if that's your regular routine, you're going all the time, or you're getting the just there for the toy, then, you know, some of that's messed up. But so that's a lot of collectible items that end up in Happy Meals. So.
I didn't know you got to watch Bourdain speak for an hour. That's incredible, dude.
Yeah, no, it was a good time. He was a good speaker.
Yeah, I'll never get the opportunity. This is last on my list, Stephen. These are things you loved as a kid, now seem a bit problematic. Playing with gypsy costumes. For Halloween or school plays, a lot of kids dressed up in so-called gypsy costumes. They usually involved, you know, colorful skirts, fake gold jewelry, headscarves. But the term gypsy is now seen as a slur against the Romani people.
So, listen, I got the memo a few years ago that gypsies was a derogatory term, a term I haven't used in probably forever. And what freaking kid is dressing up as a gypsy nowadays? Where do you think they would even get that? I have been to the Halloween store a zillion times in the last 18 years. I don't see a gypsy costume on the top selling rack or anything. So is this really a problem?
You're right. I haven't seen a kid dressed that way in a long time. And we worked at huge Halloween events, too, where we saw thousands of kids dressed up, you know.
Yeah. I don't think it's a problem. And the issue, too, with gypsies, I mean, what are we? How many gypsies are in this world nowadays? So a few thousand people were offending in some Middle Eastern, or not even Middle Eastern, like Eastern European country or something. Like, yeah. I there wasn't some gypsy version of the Cosbys that we now have to stop watching or whatever. Like,
that's
a very small group. They'll be okay. They're fine. I don't think they're real plugged into the internet and TVs and movies.
You think because they're small, we don't have to care?
Kind of, yes. I mean, a group has to be representative enough that we would give a crap. We're talking about some group that ethnicity is vague on. It's just people that roamed around. I don't know why we made fun of them. Like, so who cares if we're still doing it? Like, yeah, I got bigger fish to fry.
Okay.
Gypsies, please. Get a coalition together. Maybe I'll listen to you. Write some hit Broadway play about gypsies. Maybe I'll care about you.
Well, you don't sing about gypsies, tramps, and thieves. You know, that used to be a thing.
Yeah, take that, Cher. Stop singing that song.
Yeah, right.
Well, good stuff.
Yeah.
just to put a bow tie in all this, I have a couple of things here that are on a similar kind of topic. These are things that we're supposed to let go of as we age, which is kind of similar to what you were saying.
Yeah.
Let's just kick through a couple here. Chasing trends. Mission accomplished. I've given up on that. I don't think I ever started, but I certainly – now, I started in the early 90s, and that's where it all capped out at.
Well, what's the difference between a fad and a trend? Are they the same?
Pretty much, yeah. I don't know. A fad is, I think, only in retrospect that you can realize it was a flash in the pan. So it was a trend as a fad.
Well, like this is a great example of one of the later fads that I could think of is like pickleball. You know, I played pickleball as a kid, but just, I don't know, a couple of years ago, people started playing pickleball. And now it's everywhere. Everywhere you go, people are playing pickleball. Will it go away someday?
That's a good question. Pickleball is very popular. There's courts being built everywhere, so it's going to last for a while. I think trends, come and go, but keeping up with them is exhausting, especially if it's the latest fashion. So this thing is narrowing down to fashion in particular as far as trends go. But
As
I've gotten older, no, I stopped. I stopped a long time ago. In the 80s and into the 90s, I was trying to be trendy and hip and all that. But then I realized the 90s was peak trend, and so I'm just going to live in that bubble.
Yeah, I had a rat tail for a while.
My jeans. Come on.
Right. Yeah. So, I'm moving on. I'm not interested.
Yeah. So give up, and that's completely fine. Let's see. Things you should be giving up on as you get older. Holding grudges. I don't know. I'm pretty good at it. I don't know. I don't think I should give up on something I'm good at, right?
Only if it hurts you. You know, only if it's hurting you.
That's a fine line.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a tough one.
I mean, if you're – I don't want to get myself any legal troubles. There are fun therapeutic ways to, I don't know, get some things off your chest that if it sabotages someone's life or whatever, like, what do I care? Felt good to do it. So right. Holding grudges, plotting people's demise. Is there nothing healthy about revenge fantasies? I mean, I'm not saying you should act on them, but I think it's healthy to probably have them. Isn't that a good way to work things through in your brain?
Listen, I think it's got to be on some level, only because, like, have you seen those rooms you go into and you just break shit? You pay for an hour to break TVs. And they're very popular, you know, and that is a way to get that negative energy and, you know, some of your shit out. So as long as you don't act on it.
It's funny that you bring up that example. When I was a little kid, I have been in and out of therapy my whole life because I'm just messed up, apparently. But when I was a little kid, I mean, I'm talking like 8, 9, 10 years old, I had a therapist teach me this therapeutic technique that was widely used in the industry, that if you're mad and frustrated to get some of that anger out, you should take a tennis racket and just beat the crap out of your pillow on your bed. Just bash the little crap out of it with a tennis racket. Yeah. And I did that through the 80s, the 90s, into the 2000s. And it wasn't until somewhere about 7 or 8 years ago that I told a therapist that I was doing that. And the therapist's jaw just like hit the ground. She was like, oh, my God, who told you to do that? And I was like, a therapist in like the 80s. She was like, oh, my God, that is so accurate. That used to be something therapy was recommended. We realized about 20 years ago that it is terrible to connect your negative energy towards a violent act, that it is not just getting out of your system. You're manifesting it. You're helping it grow. That you're attaching this, I hate this kid at school, I'm going to beat a pillow. Like, you're connecting the dots there. And it is insanely unhealthy. The entire therapy industry has stopped recommending that as of about 1998, apparently. So it is a little funny that there's this modern business where, you go and break stuff because it's apparently really not a healthy connection to make.
That's interesting. I thought you were going to say it's not healthy to, like, beat your pillow up. Like, that's your peaceful time. Like, you don't want to associate anger. But, that's nuts, dude, because I didn't ever do the tennis racket, but I was told the same thing, to just beat the shit out of your pillow, you know, until you feel better. So
apparently it connects violent thoughts with violent actions, and for some reason that's not good. So I don't know. Listen, I get the generic advice to not hold grudges. It does more harm to you than to others. I just struggle with what the line is of being a pushover and letting grudges go. Like, at some point, I guess you got to let him go. But when is that? A week after the atrocity? A month? A year? Because you can't just immediately let everything go.
Yeah, it's got to be on your timeline of how you personally process it, you know, in a healthy way or whatever. But, yeah, I don't know. It's like that old, it's like that cliche line, I forgive, but I don't forget. There is a fine line in there. Like, I'll let this grudge go, but, like, I'm not going to forget that you did that, you know.
Right. Yeah, for sure. Apparently that's holding on to things. Let's see here. They say to let this go as you age. Endless small talk. Endless is debatable, but I find small talk is a necessary evil of being an adult. I don't know how you can just get rid of that. I'd love to.
You hate small talk?
Oh, God, yes.
Like, give me an example of small talk.
Well, I had to do some small talk this weekend. You know, my son had some friends over, and I had to talk to parents and whatnot. And even Crosby commented, like, boy, you did a lot of small talk today. Like, you know, good for you. And I was like, yeah, it was mentally exhausting because it's just talking to talk. And, yeah, I don't know. I would rather have real conversations or at least point-oriented discussions with somebody about something than just sit around and chit-chat. But to me, that's what being an adult is.
Yeah, unfortunately, they are. Those conversations are brutal, and I don't foresee a life where you don't have to have those if you're going to be around people. You know, that's you know, we talked about as you get older. For me, especially, I feel, and maybe you, but have you become more comfortable with silence between, I don't know, you and your girlfriend, or if we're hanging out, if we're silent, are you good with that?
Well, that's two different categories. You and I wouldn't have small talk. Kennedy and I would not have small talk. We're either talking or you have comfortable silence. And that's the sign of a good relationship, when you can have some comfortable silence.
Yeah.
So it's really not small talk unless it's with somebody you really don't have that great of a relationship with. And yeah. I'm not a big fan of it.
But you are comfortable. You're comfortable in a room with me being quiet?
Yeah, if it's appropriate. Yeah. I mean, if I'm freezing you out or something, that's not cool. But yeah, if we've been hanging out and there's a little lull in things, that's fine. Right. And there's times where I'm driving with Kennedy where, you know, we're talking, and then the conversation peters out. And I think it's then fake to try to just conjure up something just to keep the silence, you know, from being null and void.
Talk.
Like,
just
comfortable
talk.
Silence. Yeah, it's a sign of a good relationship.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I find it very soothing, you know, comfortable. People who are comfortable being around me and us being silent together. I like mm-hmm. that.
Exactly. Let's see. I think I can get to about one more here on our list, and then we will wrap it up for today. Right. These are things that you should let go of as you age. I'm just going to do this one. Hoarding possessions. You should let go of as you age. And as I've said before, there's a fine line between hoarding and collecting. And, you know, I collect a lot of stuff, and I've watched those hoarding shows before where they have told people, oh, all of these old Time magazines you're holding on to, if we put them on a shelf, now it's a collection. It's not hoarding. And that's kind of splitting hairs to me. So if it's something that's meaningful to you, then feel free to hold on to it. If you're just being a dirty hoarder, then, you know, sure, get rid of that habit.
Yeah, when I've seen, because as a guy who borders on, you know, being called a collector and a hoarder, I've watched that hoarder show, and there's like poop and shit and puke on the floor, and they can't even walk. And, you know, like, it's an unhealthy mentally and physically environment. I think it's different, dude, to collect stuff. And, you know, you should try and keep it in some sort of order if you care about it. But I'm not getting rid of that. My mom used to say that to my dad all the time. I'm going to have to deal with this when you're gone. You know, poor you. I'm going to be dead.
You know? Yeah, right.
Like, I'm sorry. I do understand not wanting to leave someone a mess. But, yeah, sorry. I'm going to collect.
Thinning the herd here and there, especially when you move, it's a great opportunity. But yeah. I don't know. Don't feel obligated to. Like, get rid of some stuff, sure. But just because you've been collecting stuff your entire life, I have a box full of comics that I've had since I was 10. Should I just throw them out because I've had them so long? Or is the fact that they're worth a whole bunch of money and mean something to me, is that worth keeping?
And I don't understand needing room so badly that that would help you in some way to throw right. out one box.
Yes, yeah. exactly.
So, yeah, I deny that one. And I deny that this isn't the world's greatest podcast. You know,
I concur. So find the website, thevocalminority.net, social medias, TikTok, YouTube, Instagram, Thread, it's whatever. Blue sky.
Yeah. Go check them out. Call or comment line 844-48-VOCAL. We'll see you next time.
Hey, everybody. It's Oprah. This has been a production of The Vocal Minority with Nick and Steve. New podcasts are released twice a week. Thanks for listening. You get a car, and you, champion, get all 180 pounds of Oprah loving. Get you a big bite of that.